With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and we continue now with our coach's profile prior to the beginning of the high school football season. Time now to talk with Linfield High School football coach Pat LaMusta, a coach among many other duties as well. Pat, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Always fun. Pat, I know how busy you are coaching sports, being an official and so on. It's in your life's blood, and I guess that's what I want to talk about to start with. What are your earliest recollections, Pat, about your acquaintance with football? In other words, the first time, or what influences you in terms of the first time you saw a game or went to a game? What's your earliest recollection?
So, I remember watching the Patriots on TV in the 90s, but I think the most impactful thing for me was coming in fourth grade, and all of a sudden, there's all these guys walking in my grade with jerseys on. And it was a Friday, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what are they doing? And I'm like, what am I missing? So by seeing that, and then, you know, the whole middle school, everyone was wearing their jerseys, and I'm like, I need to get out there. I need to join this. And I had played soccer, but I got a few yellow cards, maybe even a red card. All right, here. So football was probably a better fit. My mom let me join up in fifth grade, and I was on the C team, and the rest is history from there.
Wow. Okay, that's a new one. I hadn't heard that one. Yeah, the jerseys kind of stand out, don't they?
Well, you're in fourth grade, and you're trying to fit in and have a sense of belonging.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, there's like 20 kids, some of them your friends. You're like, wow, I missed the sign up.
Well,
you know what I mean? So
that was probably the last one you missed.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so let's go from Pee-wee or whatever it was, Pee-wee or youth football, and maybe a quick experience about that. How did you learn the game? Because there's so much to learn when you first start.
So at that point, the youth program was really small in Linfield, and it was struggling for numbers. But we were fortunate to have, you know, a good crew of dads who volunteered their time. So I give a lot of credit to Jim Papagni, who taught me the game pretty much from B team to A team, and just lots of physicality and learning the game of angles and, you know, just being willing to hit. I think, you know, at that age, you have to get comfortable with the contact.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was huge. And his son, Mikey, went on to St. John's Prep and, you know, had success there, went on to play college football. But, I still run into Jim every now and again, but, like, when I think of my youth football experience, I think of Jim, and, you know, that's kind of where I fell in love with the game, was at the youth level.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes part of your life.
Oh, yeah. Great story. And what did you like the most about youth football? Playing where? Offense, defense, or what?
Oh, geez. I remember playing line on C team, but by eighth grade, I was playing running back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a lot of fun. And then me and Mikey and I got to play middle linebacker together, so we were a nice tandem. And we had a pretty good season, you know, when we were eighth graders. So it was just tough because, like, half the team went to the prep.
Oh, boy, yeah. Yeah.
Then it was like a rebuild, you know, freshman year. But just being able to compete, like, I remember in eighth grade we beat Masco.
Oh, okay. So, well,
that was a big deal.
I noticed the distaste in your voice when you said, you know, half the team went to the prep, because I know every school, and don't get me wrong, we love the prep. It's a fantastic program. But, boy, every city and town sometimes has to lose some of your best kids for good reasons for the kids and the parents. But I get that. All right, bring us to high school, Pat.
So high school, as a freshman, you know, I was on the freshman team, and I broke into the lineup as a special teamer I think in a non-league game versus Wayland, and then after a couple of injuries, you know, Bill Adams, who was the head coach at the time and defensive coordinator, Joe Papagni, Jim Papagni's brother, they gave me an opportunity, and I remember I got to play linebacker against North Andover and fullback. So I'd say for roughly 75% of the season, freshman year, I got to play varsity.
Wow.
That was awesome. And then towards my senior year, junior and senior year, things were getting better. I mean, Linfield was in a time when we were struggling. I think freshman year we didn't win a game, maybe one game our sophomore year, one game our junior year. So it was tough. Like, we weren't getting numbers either in terms of participation.
Mm-hmm.
But then senior year we had three wins, and the rising sophomore and junior class were looking pretty good, and the program was also transitioning from Bill Adams to Neil.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to play in, you know, one of the early spread offenses senior year when Neil was, you know, brought the spread to Linfield essentially, and then one thing leads to another. I end up coaching for Neil, you know, what, 5 years later or so. So, high school football, I had fun, but it was definitely tough, just because we didn't rack up a ton of wins. It was kind of like the thing where you never left the field. You were always, like, on every unit, you know, so playing time definitely wasn't an issue. So I guess I was a little bit weary by the time I was a senior, and I had talked to a few colleges about playing, and I ended up veering away from it and going to UMass Amherst to kind of take a step away from football. And then, you know, who I'd like to mention too, just in terms of influence, because I played for Joe Papagni. He was the head coach of lacrosse. So he was the DC of football, head coach of lacrosse. So I got to play for him for 4 years of lacrosse. And then Scott McKenzie, the basketball coach, I got to play for him. Play for him for a couple of years. And I think between Neil, Bill, Scott, and Joe, all different personalities, like, they had a tremendous impact on kind of the way I coach. Bill knew how to get along with the kids. Neil is an awesome X's and O's guy and really taught me how to be a coordinator. And then Scott McKenzie is one of the best, most organized people I know. So he ran a basketball practice down to the minute. So, like, I always appreciated that. And Scott never yells at refs.
Yeah.
I love that. So I try not to lose my
cool. Well, listen, with the yellow card history, are we okay with that? You okay with the refs?
Well, I had to basically become one to understand it.
Oh, okay. Good point.
Yeah.
Good point, Pat. Yeah. All right. I want to go back and ask you a question about freshman year. And it's very impressive and great to hear how you learn from all these different coaches. And again, it's another lesson, I think, that you're showing to our high school athletes and even younger kids to be a multi-sport athlete, because you're not always going to win a championship, but boy, you can learn and you can have some fun. And then, for example, with you, you've continued it on into your adulthood. But I want to go back to that freshman thing. You said you were playing linebacker and fullback, you know, as a freshman. How was your body type at that point? Because, you know, as a 14, 15-year-old kid, man, you still got a long way to grow.
Right. So I was just making weight for youth football in eighth grade, and I remember the weight was maybe 148 back then to carry the ball, and I was, like, pulling out my girdle pads to make the weight. And then, so I want to say freshman year, I was probably 160, 165, 170 in that range.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so I was definitely a smaller linebacker type. But you know, I managed to find some fit with at linebacker. You know, just by trying to play fast, and I got to play fullback a little bit too.
Cool.
I remember the exact play in North Andover too. I remember it. I remember vividly kind of that opening kind of play, and it was I think I had a blitz on, and I had a tackle for a loss.
Cool.
A nice. Now, granted, North Andover, I think at that point might have been up a little bit, but it was still a cool play.
Of course.
Yeah.
I remember the only time I carried the ball was a similar situation as a freshman, and I got to score a 2-point conversion, and we were probably down by 50 or 60 points, but I still remember that.
Those plays stick with you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay, bring me to college and beyond, and your transition to going from an athlete, or not going from an athlete, but playing multi-sports and then getting into coaching. Tell me about your college experience at both schools.
So, UMass Amherst football took on a different shape. I played a little flag football, and then I was also a flag football official, and then I had tried to talk to the UMass staff a little bit about a walk-on opportunity, but I didn't really follow through with it, nor were they that interested in a 5'8", you know, whatever I was, like 170 if I was lucky. But bottom line is I did well academically at UMass, but it just wasn't a great fit for me. And I missed playing. So I decided to look at schools where I could play again. And Endicott College, I spoke with about transferring, and then I just remember walking into Tom Kelly's office down at Framingham State, and he didn't know me from a hole in the wall. I think Pat Sheehan, who was an alum at Framingham State, gave a call to Coach Kelly, but we just clicked. And next thing you know, I was getting on the camp roster and had four great seasons there where we won a championship in some form or another. But I was primarily a special teams guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to start a few games my junior year at fullback. So I kind of platooned around offense and defense and special teams.
You know, Pat, we talked with one of the coaches in the Northeastern Conference, and he played Division I. He's a big guy. But he said he wished he had played Division III because he would have played more. And as a coach, you carry all that information you have from your experiences, and you can impart that to the kids and just hope that they listen. But sometimes, I'm sure you're telling them, okay, listen, this is a better fit than what you think you might want to do. And having that, you can speak with authority, I presume.
Right. Yeah. I have a conversation a lot, and I go in his office. I go, I was in the same situation. Well, sometimes what kids are debating is whether to hang up the cleats officially and go to a big school,
right,
versus trying to keep playing at a smaller school. And I was victim of the keeping up with the Joneses of the, of my whole friend group were going to these elite schools, and I had gotten into UMass Eisenberg. So, you know, I think just the ego factor, I liked the idea of going to one of the top business schools, but I was pretty much giving up football,
mm-hmm.
you know. And Scott McKenzie said to me, and I remember it like it was yesterday, and I was a senior in high school, he goes, are you sure you want to do this? He's like, you know, sports and football are like major part of your life, and you know, he ended up being correct. So you know, I think I share that story a lot with kids that are debating whether to continue playing or the going for the big school versus the smaller school. I think, you know, it was nice to share that experience, so maybe they can make a better decision.
It's part of being a football coach and a teacher, of course, is that kind of counseling, and it's complex because you're not only dealing with the kid, but you're also dealing with the parents for the most part. And they have their aspirations for their kids too. So, thank goodness we have guys, who are able to counsel, both the parents and the student athletes. That is cool. Coach, now, with all your, endeavors on the field, including lacrosse and basketball, and working with all these coaches, playing so many different positions, you were able to transition into coaching pretty early, I presume, and you got to coach with Coach Weidman?
Yes. So the first coaching job I had ever, as I was finishing up student teaching down in Framingham, was actually a lacrosse job for at high school head freshman coach under Dan Norton, who was an Ashland guy originally. So that was my first coaching job ever. And then during that season is when, you know, Bob Clary offered me the teaching job in Linfield. And then shortly after, I got a call from Neil Weidman, Coach Weidman. So, and originally I was coming on as a volunteer, and you know how fast things can evolve. One coach on staff had to go, you know, went on to become an assistant principal and had to give up coaching. And next thing you know, I was pretty much on as a full on coach, you know, helping Gino Federa and Neil with the offense. And so I was 4 years kind of in that varsity position coach role, and helping with the coordination of the offense as well.
What's gotten easier for you, Pat, in terms of being a head coach? Because when you when you move on from assistant, you see what's going, especially if you've been an assistant for a while, you see how the head coach organizes things and so on, but you haven't really done that physically for the most part. You know, the phone calls, the organizations, and, you know, working 12 months a year in that. So what's gotten easier since you've been head coach, since you started?
So, I would say, I think you learn how to communicate more effectively with the various stakeholders as you go.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing that can really prepare you for that. I was so surprised. One of the first phone calls I had, I think when I first got the job in the spring of 2018, was with, like the booster organization, you know, and I was still organizing my staff. And then, yeah, you learn how to manage parent and player relations better as you go. Ultimately, most people get thrown into the fire. And that first year, I'm sure, is rocky for most coaches. But you just have to, your brain has to basically be like a file cabinet. And you just have to remember, okay, here's what went well in 2018. Here's how we do it differently in 2019. And that's across the board, like off-season stuff, X's and O's, strategy, working with the players, working with the parents, working with the boosters, working with admin. You know, you just want to try to make it better each year. So I think it only gets better with experience and, you know, the better staff you have around you makes things a lot easier. I've been fortunate to have some awesome assistant coaches.
You're coaching two varsity sports. You're an official. Do you ever have to get away from the game, whatever season you're in?
Yes. Yeah. I think the family time is where I usually try to unplug the most. You know, I'm very involved with my grandparents, my parents. I have nieces. So even though I don't have kids of my own, I think when I'm with my family, I really try to unplug, get off the email, not look at the, you know, the Twitter videos of drills that pop up, you know, all sorts of things that can pop up on your phone. And I think family time and time with friends has been key to unplugging, and I do really enjoy travel. And I think when you're like, I was able to go to Ireland this past June, and that was a great experience.
Where'd you go?
Ireland. We hit probably five or six major cities, like from Dublin to Killarney to Limerick. Saw the Cliffs, Cove. was a busy trip.
Excellent. Yeah. 10 years ago this month, 10 years ago in April, we were in Killarney. We stayed there for a couple of weeks and absolutely loved it. Coach, what about, and a couple more questions. I've kept it long enough, I know, but, I'm curious as to the relationship with former players. Every now and then, as you know, I taught math for 40 years at Gloucester High School. And every now and then an adult will come up to me, Mr. Moore, and I say, it's Rick, you know, well, Mr. Moore. And they will say something totally innocuous, like, hey, do you remember when you put me in the ugly shirt row? Or something like that, that I don't remember, but they do, and it meant something to them. I'm sure as a coach of as multiple sports, you have people come back as adults because you've been coaching long enough now and say, Coach, you remember this or you remember that?
Yes, absolutely. And Neil, towards the end, the year before he stepped down, he had launched an alumni game with the Kramich family, alumni. Matt Kramich played for Neil, and then Ben played for me, and then Matt and Ben's father played, I want to say in the 90s for Linfield. So they put together an alumni game. And that was the first one I think we had in 2017. And we've kept it going every year since, except with the exception of 2020. We've had that alumni game every year. And it's funny the conversations that come up, you know, in terms of, like, you know, the memories and the silly moments. But we've tried to keep that going. And we're trying to get one off the ground for lacrosse as well. You know, just to try and get the kids together. A lot of them are college-aged or, like, you know, they're in their mid-20s, but it's a great time for them to connect. And it also acts as a networking opportunity, too, where former players can help each other out.
Good point.
Even from different grades.
Good point. All right, Pat, I guess the final thing is, Bill and I ask this question usually as the last one. You're coaching 12 months a year, really. I know that, and I know that you think about it all the time. What's on your mind today about this next edition of Linfield High School football?
What's on my mind today? Well, I'm not going to reveal it at this point, but we were able to hopefully fill our week 7 opening. A team came out of the woodwork, you know, looking for a week 7 game. So I was basically going through whether it was a doable game, and I think it will be a challenge for us. I'm not going to say the team right now, but, like, that's been on my mind the past 24 hours is, you know, the positive of getting that game, and it's going to be a home game because I think we're better off playing than having a week off. So that's kind of been the most imminent things. And then just – a lot of the admin and administration tasks that pop up.
Yep.
But I think our numbers are going to be great. I have a great staff coming in. And it's my job to just make sure everyone can do their job and they're not, you know, being interfered with, you know, random administration tasks and that, you know, Ted Clarity, my offensive coordinator, you know, make sure he can do the X's and O's.
There you go. It never stops.
No. Right.
Hey, Pat, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to let us know you better. Great stories, and I think it connects all of us sports fans here in the North Shore and makes it like a backyard barbecue talk situation to know you better. And congratulations on doing so well. Good luck, and I'll be talking with you about the team in a couple of weeks, I hope.
Yes, that sounds good.
All right, Pat. Be well. Get some rest, man.
All right. Thank you, Rick.
Take care. All right. That's Pat LaMusta, who is the Linfield High School football coach. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.